Welcome to The Word for Today, featuring the Bible teaching of Pastor Chuck Smith, founder of the Calvary Chapel Movement. This radio program is a verse-by-verse study through the entire Bible. And on today's edition of The Word for Today, Pastor Chuck continues with the imprisonment of Jeremiah, as we pick up in Jeremiah chapter 37, verse 3. And now with today's message, here's Pastor Chuck.
People had closed their ears to the warning of God. Zedekiah refused to listen. He would listen privately. He would call Jeremiah and talk to him privately, but then publicly he would denounce him. Zedekiah the king sent Jehukal, the son of Shelemiah, and Zephaniah, the sons of Maaseiah, the priest, to the prophet Jeremiah, saying, "Pray now unto the Lord our God for us." Now Jeremiah came in and went out among the people, for they had not yet put him into prison. Then Pharaoh's army had come forth out of Egypt. When the Chaldeans that besieged Jerusalem heard the tidings of them, they departed from Jerusalem. Now, the Babylonian army was there, but when they heard that the Egyptian army was coming, the Babylonian army withdrew. They withdrew their men from Jerusalem. Then came the word of the Lord to the prophet Jeremiah, saying, "Thus saith the Lord, the God of Israel, thus shall ye say to the king of Judah that sent you unto me to inquire of me, behold, Pharaoh's army, which is come forth to help you, will return to Egypt into their own land, and the Chaldeans shall come again and fight against this city and take it and burn it with fire. Thus saith the Lord, don't deceive yourselves, saying, the Chaldeans shall surely depart from us, for they shall not depart." Now, the people thought, oh, we're free, you know, from the Chaldeans. The Egyptian army has frightened them off. They've gone. Now we can do our own thing. Now we can be independent of Babylon. Now we won't have to pay tribute. And they rebelled against the Babylonian authority. But Jeremiah warned them against this. He said, don't think that you're free of them. They're going to return again. For though you had smitten the whole army of the Chaldeans, even if you had wiped out the whole army and there were only a few wounded men left, God is determined to deliver you unto the Chaldeans. And just a few wounded men would be able to take you. And they'll burn this city with fire. So it came to pass when the army of the Chaldeans was broken up from Jerusalem for the fear of the Pharaoh's army, then Jeremiah went forth out of Jerusalem to go into the land of Benjamin to separate himself from the midst of the people. So Jeremiah started to take off and go up to Benjamin. But as he was at the gate of Benjamin, one of the gates of Jerusalem at that time, a captain of the ward was there whose name was Arijah. And he took Jeremiah the prophet, saying, "You're going over to the Babylonians, to the Chaldeans." And Jeremiah said, "That's not true. I am not going over to the Chaldeans." But this captain would not listen to him, so Arijah took Jeremiah and brought him before the princes. And when the princes were angry with Jeremiah, they smote him and put him in prison in the house of Jonathan, the scribe, for they had made that a prison. And when Jeremiah was entered into the dungeon and into the cabins, and Jeremiah had remained there for many days. So they imprisoned Jeremiah, thinking that he was going to go over to the Babylonians. Jeremiah declared that wasn't his intention, but yet they made him a prisoner anyhow to keep him from that. Then Zedekiah the king sent and took him out. And the king asked him secretly in the house and said, "Is there any word from the Lord?" And Jeremiah said, "There is. For he said, thou shalt be delivered into the hand of the king of Babylon." Moreover, Jeremiah said unto King Zedekiah, "What have I offended against thee or against thy servants or against this people that you've put me in prison? Where are now your prophets which prophesied unto you, saying, the king of Babylon will not come against you, nor against this land? There were prophets that said, the Babylonians will never come into this land. He said, where are those prophets now that gave you that story? Therefore, hear now, I pray thee, O my Lord the king, let my prayer, I pray thee, be accepted before thee, that you cause me not to return to the house of Jonathan the scribe, lest I die. Please don't send me back to that prison. I'll die there if you do. He was put there in the prison of the house of Jonathan the scribe. Then Zedekiah the king commanded that they should commit Jeremiah into the court of the prison. That is, not put him back in the dungeon. And that they should give him daily a piece of bread out of the baker's street until all of the bread in the city was spent. Thus Jeremiah remained in the court of the prison. Then Shephatiah, the son of Matan, and Gedaliah, the son of Pashur, and Jukal, the son of Shelemiah, and Pashur, the son of Malchiah, heard the words that Jeremiah had spoken unto all the people, saying, and Jeremiah said to all the people, thus saith the Lord, he that remains in this city shall die by the sword or the famine or the pestilence. But he that will surrender to the Chaldeans will live, for he shall have his life for a prey and shall live. Thus saith the Lord, this city shall surely be given into the hand of the king of Babylon's army, which shall take it. Therefore the princes said unto the king, we beseech thee, let's put this man to death, for he is weakening the hands of the men of war that remain in the city and the hands of all of the people in speaking these words unto them, for this man is seeking not the welfare of this people but the hurt. Then Zedekiah the king said, behold, he's in your hand, for the king can do nothing against you. Then they took Jeremiah and cast him in the dungeon of Malchiah, the son of Hamelech, that was in the court of the prison, and they let Jeremiah down with cords, and in the dungeon there was no water but mire. So Jeremiah sunk in the mire. Very graphic, sad picture of a man who is being punished for doing the will of God. The Bible speaks about being punished for doing good. If you take it well, then surely God dwells in you. Many times we are punished for doing evil. There's no credit or value of taking that well. But if when you are doing good, you suffer for it, and you take it well, then that gives some real proof of the Christian experience. You see, it is possible to suffer according to the will of God, or it is possible to suffer as the result of doing the will of God. It is wrong to think that because you are a child of God, that somehow God is going to miraculously spare you from trouble. That you won't have any problems because you've surrendered your life to the Lord. That is not true. As a child of God, we are exposed to the wrath of this world that is stored up against God. Now, they cannot strike God, so they strike God's representatives. The world does not want to hear the truth of God. And if you dare to speak the truth of God, the world will hate you. Jesus said, if you were of the world, then the world would love you. But you are not of the world. You're a threat to the world. They don't want to hear the truth of God's word. Especially do they not want to hear of the coming judgment of God against the wicked. And that's the message that Jeremiah was declaring. God is going to judge you for your iniquities. The judgment of God is coming. There's no sense trying to defend yourself against the Babylonians because God has already determined to give you into their hands. And if you try to defend yourself, you're only going to die. Either by the sword or the pestilence or the famine. Now, if you'll surrender, you'll live. you'll be saved alive. But if you resist, they're going to kill you. Now, these men said, hey, king, that's treasonous. You see, he is demoralizing all of the army. These guys aren't wanting to fight because he's demoralizing them, telling them they're going to get beat. Now, we ought to kill him. And Zedekiah said, well, he's in your hands. I won't do anything against you. And so they grabbed Jeremiah and let him down in this dungeon. And in the bottom of the dungeon, no water, just this mire. And Jeremiah began to sink in this mire. Now when Ebed-Melech, the Ethiopian, one of the eunuchs which was in the king's house, heard that they had put Jeremiah in the dungeon, the king was sitting in the gate of Benjamin. Ebed-Melech went forth out of the king's house and spoke to the king, saying, my lord the king, these men have done evil in all that they have done to Jeremiah the prophet, whom they have cast into the dungeon. And he is likely to die there for hunger where he is, for there's no more bread in the city. Then the king commanded Ebed-Melech, the Ethiopian, saying, take with you 30 men and lift Jeremiah the prophet out of the dungeon before he dies. So Ebed-Melech took the men with him, and they went into the house of the king under the treasury, and they took from there these old cast clouts and old rotten rags, and they let them down by cords into the dungeon to Jeremiah. And Ebed-Melech, the Ethiopian, said to Jeremiah, now put these old cast clouts and the rotten rags under your armpits there. And Jeremiah did so, so they drew Jeremiah up with the cords. He was no doubt stuck in the mud in the bottom, and so they had to made sort of a sling and put it under his arms and all with the rotten rags so it wouldn't, you know, hurt him too bad, and then the cords underneath. And they gently lifted him out of this mire into which he had sunk there in the bottom of the dungeon. And so they took him out of the dungeon, and Jeremiah remained in the court of the prison. Then Zedekiah the king sent and took Jeremiah the prophet unto him into the third entry that is in the house of the Lord. And the king said unto Jeremiah, I will ask you a thing. Now don't hide anything from me. Then Jeremiah said to Zedekiah, if I declare it unto you, will you not surely put me to death? And if I give you counsel, you won't listen to me anyhow. Why do you want me to tell you anything? If I tell you the truth, you'll put me to death. If I tell you what's really happening, you're not going to listen anyhow, so what's the use? So Zedekiah the king swore secretly unto Jeremiah, saying, as the Lord liveth, that made us this soul, I will not put thee to death, neither will I give thee into the hand of these men that seek your life. So Zedekiah made a covenant with Jeremiah that he would neither kill him nor turn him over to the men who wanted to kill him. Then said Jeremiah unto Zedekiah, thus saith the Lord, the God of hosts, the God of Israel, if you will assuredly go forth unto the king of Babylon's princes, then your soul shall live, and this city shall not be burned with fire, and you shall live and your house. You and your whole house will be able to live if you'll just go over and surrender. If you'll just go out and surrender to them, you'll be able to live and your whole family. But if you will not go forth to the king of Babylon's princes, then shall this city be given into the hand of the Chaldeans, and they shall burn it with fire, and you will not escape out of their hand. And Zedekiah the king said unto Jeremiah, I am afraid of the Jews that have fallen to the Chaldeans, lest they deliver me into their hand, and they mock me. But Jeremiah said, they shall not deliver thee. Obey, I beg thee, the voice of the Lord, which I speak unto thee, so it shall be well unto thee, and thy soul shall live. So here's Jeremiah pleading with Zedekiah. Now look, they won't deliver you to the Jews. I beg you, listen to what God has to say. Obey the Lord. It's for your own good. To me, it is always strange that people will reject God's truth. So many times we find ourselves in the position of seeing what's happening, seeing what's going to happen, seeing the path that a person is on and knowing that it's a path of destruction. And we beg them, look, don't do that. And you hear all of these lame excuses that they have for going on in their sin. And you can see how it's destroying them. And you plead and you beg, but they won't hearken. Oh, how sad and tragic that is. When people turn a deaf ear to the voice of God, when people refuse to hearken to the warnings that God sends, what's left? If you won't listen to God, if you won't listen to the warning of God, what's left? God has left no alternative. He must then bring his judgment against the wicked. He gives man every opportunity to turn. He sends his servants to plead with men to turn. And if they refuse the voice of God, God has left no choice. There comes then that certain judgment of God against the unrighteous and the ungodly. Jeremiah said, if you will go, it will be well with you and you will live. But if you refuse to go, this is the word that the Lord has showed me. Behold, all of the women that are left in the king of Judah's house will be brought forth to the king of Babylon's princes. And those women shall say, thy friends have set thee on and have prevailed against thee. Thy feet are sunk in the mire, and they are turned away back. So they shall bring out all thy wives and thy children to the Chaldeans, and thou shalt not escape out of their hand, but shall be taken by the hand of the king of Babylon, and thou shalt cause this city to be burned with fire. Then said Zedekiah unto Jeremiah, don't let any man know these words, and you will not die. But if the princes hear that I have talked with you, and they come unto you and they say unto you, declare unto us now what you have said to the king. Don't hide it from us, and we will not put you to death. Also, what did the king say to you? Then you shall say unto them, I presented my supplication before the king, that he would not cause me to return to Jonathan's house to die there. Just tell them that you asked me not to send you back to Jonathan's house, which Jeremiah did ask the king. He said, please don't send me back to Jonathan's house lest I die there. So the king said, if they ask you what you know you said to me, just tell them that you asked me not to send you back to Jonathan's house, which thing Jeremiah did ask him. Then all of the princes came to Jeremiah and asked him and told him, and he told them according to all the words which the king had commanded. So they left off speaking with him, for the matter was not perceived. Jeremiah didn't tell them all the truth, but told them a truth, but not all of the truth. So Jeremiah remained there in the court of the prison until the day that Jerusalem was taken, and he was there when Jerusalem was taken. God gave every opportunity unto Zedekiah to spare himself and the people if he would only listen and obey the voice of God. Now, in the 9th year of Zedekiah, the king of Judah, in the 10th month of the 9th year, Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon, and all of his army came against Jerusalem and began their siege. And in the 11th year of Zedekiah, in the 4th month, or 16 months later, in the 9th day of the month, the city was destroyed. They were under siege for 16 months. When the disease began to ravage the city, the pestilence, and many died from the disease. Famine began to grip them, many died of starvation. It was 16 months of horror. And then the walls were broken down, and the Babylonian army came in with the sword and began to slay the people. And all the princes of the king of Babylon came in, and they sat in the middle gate, even Nergal-Sharezer, and the names of these princes of the king of Babylon. And it came to pass that when Zedekiah, the king of Judah, saw them and all of the men of war, then they fled, and they went forth out of the city by night, by way of the king's garden, by the gate between the two walls, and he went out the way of the plain. So Zedekiah tried to escape. Seeing that all was lost, he, with some of his men, sought to escape. Now, there are some legends that he escaped through what is known as Solomon's quarries. And there are some stories, though unconfirmed, that Solomon's quarries go for several miles and have an exit out in the Judean wilderness. That has never been confirmed, but there are persisting stories that this indeed is so. However it was, Zedekiah did try to escape, going down towards Jericho.
We'll continue with more of our verse-by-verse Bible study in the book of Jeremiah in our next broadcast, as Pastor Chuck continues to teach through the Bible. And we do hope you'll make plans to join us. But right now, if you'd like to order a copy of today's message, simply order Jeremiah 37 through 39 when visiting thewordfortoday.org. And while you're there, be sure to browse the many additional biblical resources by Pastor Chuck. You can also subscribe to the Word for Today podcast or sign up for our email subscription. Once again, that's thewordfortoday.org. For those of you wishing to call, our toll-free number is 1-800-272-WORD, and our office hours are Monday through Friday, 8 a.m. to 5 p.m. Pacific Time. Again, that's 1-800-272-9673. If you prefer to write, our mailing address is The Word for Today, P.O. Box 8000, Costa Mesa, California, 92628. And now, on behalf of The Word for Today, we'd like to thank all of you who share in supporting this ministry with your prayers and financial support. And be sure to join us again next time as Pastor Chuck continues his verse-by-verse study through the Bible. That's right here on the next edition of The Word for Today. And now, once again, here's Pastor Chuck.
May the Lord be with you. And may your life be an instrument in God's hand this week. May you have that unusual joy of realizing God's hand is upon my life and He has used me. And may you experience the anointing of God's Spirit upon your life in a new and a very special way as He empowers you to do His work. In Jesus' name.
This program has been sponsored by Calvary Chapel of Costa Mesa, California.
Have you ever thought about this simple phrase, God loves you? This just might be the most important truth you could ever grasp, that God has called you into a loving relationship with Himself. Unfortunately, many of us have been brought up to think that we need to earn God's love. In Chuck Smith's book, Why Grace Changes Everything, Pastor Chuck imparts years of wisdom from his own experiences, how he thought he had to work hard and deny his own desires for God to love him. But when he unlocked the secret to God's grace, this changed everything. Come alongside Pastor Chuck to discover an astonishing truth about your relationship with Jesus Christ, that it's not based upon your works, but based upon God's love for you. It's true. Grace changes everything. To find out more and to read a preview, visit thewordfortoday.org and click on the link to download Why Grace Changes Everything by Chuck Smith. Or if you would like to order this book in print, call The Word for Today at 800-272-9673.